Everybody, welcome back to our irregularly scheduled podcast, Vet School in a Nutshell, possibly to be renamed now that we're no longer in vet school. Well, at least two of us aren't. Today I have with me Lauren Kreider.
Hey.
And also our boy Dan. Oh, back. Sorry, I should say Dr. Dan.
Back by popular demand. The people wanted me back. I had to make it happen.
All right. So what you been up to, Dan?
I moved to Boston. I graduated vet school. I passed my Natalie, a bunch of different things. Passed my Natalie. Graduated.
But we talked about Natalie on the last one. We're not talking about Natalie season.
Had we graduated? We had graduated.
No, we hadn't.
Did we get our grades at that point?
Yeah, y'all had already found out.
Yeah. Oh, we got those back in
mid-January.
Sorry.
Yeah, dog, come on. Give it the program.
So I graduated, moved to Boston. I do small animal general practice, and I do large animal relief just to scratch the itch of still doing the large animal aspect right now. But just kind of living a different life in Boston, having fun, seeing friends, just making a little money, paying some bills, things like that.
Starting random FaceTimes.
Yeah, FaceTimes. I work 4 days a week, so I usually have at least 1 week day off.
That's a lie. This man never works.
That's so not true. I take one vacation, and then I get sick after, and now no one thinks I work.
Oh,
ASMR.
What's he drinking?
A little midday Saturday drink. A little drinking.
Oh,
but no, that. Oh,
did you just spill that on you?
I might have.
Little Irish firecracker.
Got a little Dr. Pepper Zero.
Oh.
Because I can't drink the regular stuff. It's too sweet for me.
I have Hetty Topper from the Alchemist Brewery in Vermont, near Burlington. Ooh. So
hey.
Yeah. I went there personally to pick these up.
Wow.
Yeah, you can say I'm pretty dedicated. I'm gonna do my best to not spill it on my laptop.
Or your floor.
Yeah. Taylor, what are you up to? That's all that really matters right now is what we're up to.
Yeah. I don't know who this third person is. Well, I also graduated. Conveniently, same time, same place.
I was there.
Lauren was there.
I cried.
I did too.
I cried
thank
also.
Thank God it's over. I'm sorry.
Like, talk about that. If you guys want to talk about that, it was impossible not to cry.
I mean, yeah. It's like, the biggest moment ever.
Yeah, my life's been downhill since. I have nothing to live for anymore.
Quite literally the same. but what I've been up to, I moved down to Texas. Don't know why I did that. The Wild West of San Antonio, Texas, where it was hot and now it is cold. And there is no in between. It went from like 90 to like 50.
Wait, it's
50 degrees.
Today in Boston's like the most perfect fall day. I'm warm. I have my windows open. It's global warming, man. That'll do it.
I don't know why Texas is cold.
That means
global warming doesn't exist.
I was planning on bringing warm clothes whenever I came. Because I have a rotation at Taylor's hospital.
I have no idea what's a rotation.
I'm not sure. What now?
Okay.
Clinical rotations. That's what I'm on right now. During my fourth year.
She made it. She made it past third year. Everybody thought she wasn't going to make it past third year. I also thought the same. I thought she'd be held back. And forced to restart.
Yeah.
But somehow she made it. They let her through. Squeaking.
Somehow
by.
I manage.
Taylor, tell us more about your practice that Lauren's going to. What's it like?
It's great. No, no, it's good. I enjoy my coworkers. It's small animal emergency / GP. So I switch off between doing emergency practice and then just your general small animal practice. But I get to do surgery, which I love. Got to do
were you, I heard you were the surgery liaison in school.
Oh yeah, I am this. I was the surgery liaison, so you can just tell how passionate I was for it. Oh, I think the last time we were on the podcast, I was going to do a surgical resident or a surgical internship. That didn't pan out, so now I'm down here in San Antonio, living the dream.
Damn. Yeah, no, I'm definitely not. Last time on the podcast, I think I was going to go to mixed animal medicine in upstate New York. So a little bit different, but I still do a little. I have a New York license and still practice there a little bit.
Yeah, well, goes to show how quickly your plans can change.
Wow.
Yeah.
I was about to say, I feel like I have plans, but who knows if they'll even still be a thing.
I didn't take a job, and I didn't take a job till like near graduation. I was just kind of checking
Just
everything out.
a job.
Lauren,
Because, yeah.
can you give hints as if you have a job or not?
I have a couple offers. And
Wow,
yeah.
it's a really
Subtle
competitive market.
subtle flex. I have one that I really, really like. And I will save that surprise for a later date.
Yeah, you don't want to jump the gun. You got to pass Natalie
No,
first.
heard that.
Yeah, speaking of, that's why we
Before
were
we jump, to Natalie though, yesterday at work, when I was supposed to be like doing medicine stuff, my boss goes, "By the way, 19 Girl Scouts are coming today, and we have to tour them a tour, and they have all this stuff they have to do to get their merit badges." And it was weird, and none of the other doctors offered to help,
No.
so I proceeded to show 19 Girl Scouts how to scrub in the surgery, how to
I
take
never realized
X-rays. Yeah, no, it was awful. It was not my
that. They
favorite
let
thing.
you near children?
Yeah, no, everyone signed a permission slip, so it was
Oh,
cool.
okay. I bet those little girls loved it. I bet they were like, oh my God, Dr. Dan is so hot.
Ew, they're like in first grade. Don't ever say that again.
Okay.
But it
I
was,
thought guys were hot when I was in the first grade, but okay.
yeah, I had no comment. But literally, it was, and then so then I was just like, whatever. Like they'll at least bring Girl Scout cookies, you'd assume, like as common courtesy, like courtesy and currency.
I mean, that's what they're known for.
No, they didn't bring any cookies, not even to sell. Like
What
they
a
just came cookies.
season.
It doesn't matter. They should have. They
I was a
should
Girl
have
Scout,
some. I
and
don't
I did
care
not
what.
just have them on me at all times.
They should though. Like someone in the troop should be like, all right, like we want a favor from these veterinarians, like for a merit badge. Like we should bring some cookies to show that we care. But yeah.
I just want to state because it's something I was like really, really proud of when I was little. I'm still really proud of it. Whenever I was younger, I was a Girl Scout and I got the most cookie sales in my troop and also in like the entire county, possibly the
How many
state of Georgia, because
parents buy?
so it's not it wasn't my mom had something to do with it, but it wasn't my parents buying it. My mom is a flight attendant, and so she would bring the cookies onto the planes and sell them to the customers on planes. And I mean, I always sold like thousands and thousands of boxes of cookies.
Your mom is
What?
a true hustler. All I
Yeah,
know is
you're.
that there was like this magazine that had like a tier thing on it, and like however many like boxes of cookies you sold, you could like get up to different tiers. And I got to the very top, and I got this awesome like Palm Pilot thing, and I was like, oh man, I'm so cool. And I dropped it in the toilet.
Wow.
Raise of hands, who hasn't dropped a phone in the toilet? Because I
Who
totally have done the same thing.
hasn't? I've never been even close. I like
My mom used to
value.
keep a bag of rice in her car at all times because she'd always keep it in the back of her pants. And then she would like go into the bathroom and she would pull her pants down and it would just fall into the toilet. Oh my God. The same mom who interrupted the podcast earlier.
Yeah, this is our second attempt at the podcast, and which I think everyone can realize a podcast is over the phone, and but we sometimes will Zoom just to see each other's facial expressions. And her mom comes through, does not care, says hello to everyone, and the way back you can just see her crawling behind Lauren to get out. It
Was great.
was pretty
The best
funny.
part is that whenever we started the new one, I heard her at the top of the stairs yelling for me, and I was just like, I can't. What's your name doing
God.
this right now?
All right, Lauren, before we hop into Natalie stuff, do you have any other life update you want to add? Because we kind of, Taylor and I's lives changed, but you've been traveling, you've been doing stuff.
Yeah, I've been traveling a lot. I failed a class, but I'm back.
Oh,
Happens to the best of us.
I failed a class. I knew it would happen at some point. And I was hanging on by the, I don't know, the skin of my teeth for like so many classes. And I mean, we all know I'm not the smartest.
And then it happened.
And then it happened with my zoonotics class, and almost like
zoonotics.
Zoonotics.
What is it? Zoonotics.
Your wildlife and zoo med.
Wait, zoonotics. I'm thinking of the Nabley because zoonotic diseases. No, exotics.
Well, I could probably point out one reason you may have failed that class.
Because I don't know what it's called.
You showed up to the wrong class. You're in the zoonotics class.
A bunch of people in the class failed. Actually, only like four of us did, but a bunch of people almost failed because we had this guest lecturer who made questions for the final exam, and she asked us a bunch of fun facts that she said were fun facts, and everyone didn't study them because we thought they were just fun. Turns out they're also facts and we had to know them. And I did it, but now I do. And so anyways, I'm here to prove that you can keep going. And
you
I
to prove that you can fail zoonotics and pass it out.
You can fail zoonotics and still live to fail another day. So then I started doing my rotations. My first one was wild. And then I've had some, I mean, I could talk all day because that's what I'm
you can. But, yeah, we won't let you. No, but
do that. But
did you study for the Navly?
I studied for the Navly a little baby bit. And then I took my vacation block for like the block before the Navly because I knew that I wasn't going to be able to studied that well because my friends who went before me, like Taylor, said that it was like really hard to study while you're in clinics, and we weren't friends then. Don't act like we were friends then.
Let's use the friend term loosely.
You still hated me then more than you do now. It's less now. But anyway, so I thought it was really hard to like truly study because like when I study, I got to go like all in, you know, like I can't just, I don't know if you guys know, I have ADD. And so if my medication is not working, it's a no for me. And then I have like the stars have to align. Everything has to be great. And like, it's not really something I can just like come home and then study for like an hour or two. And so that's why.
I can relate to that, Lauren. Yeah. Lauren didn't do it today, but she usually outs me for also having ADHD. She likes to just tell people, which is pretty cool. But that's I can relate to the fact that during clinical year, it was tough to study because like, I'd be like, focus so much on my work day and then get home and be like, I'm not someone who can just like do like 2 hours of studying. I'm either like 8 hours, it's got my life, or like I'm out. So I can agree that it was tough. I didn't take my vacation prior to the Navly, but oh gosh, I don't know if this are we at this part of the podcast? We just talk about what we did.
Yeah, we can talk about it. Wait, I have like a full list of questions, but you can say like
What I did was basically I studied, like I probably did like I had a couple easier rotations prior to the Navly, and like they were just let's go early, and I'd be like, all right, I gotta study for a bunch of hours. But then right before the Navly, I had about 16 days where I just like moved away. I actually moved back to school, so I couldn't be distracted by anything, and I just did like 12-hour days, but I had at that point I had already finished vet prep, so I obviously was like studying enough along the way to have vet prep finished by 2 weeks before the Navly, but still I like then just like really hit it hard for like the next 2 weeks, and it was miserable, and I did not treat myself right, but I passed. So looking back, it was all worth it. I just wanted to say that like I had thrown all the energy I could at this exam, so if I failed, I could be like, at least I tried my hardest.
Yeah.
We've kind of been bullying Lauren lately because we feel like we've been wanting her to get farther in vet prep. So every day we say rude things to her, and then sometimes we talk about the Natalie too. We'll talk rude things about that.
We throw a punch and then we soften the blow. Be like, you're gonna do it.
Yeah.
We're like, you haven't done 50% of vet prep, but you'll pass. We promise.
Yeah. We just say things like that. I'm gonna say that I have gotten more than 50%. I'm actually currently at 87%, and I take the Navly. Today's Saturday. I take it not this upcoming Monday, but the next Monday. So like 8 days.
Yeah, you have a good chunk of time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'm about to be going balls to the wall over the next week. But as far as like I'll ask y'all questions.
Are these viewer questions? Are these viewer submitted?
Yeah, these are viewer submitted and also my own personal questions. But before we get into asking people who took the NAVLE already, I'm just going to say like what I'm doing and like what I did. So like I said, I took my vacation block so that I could have like a full 4 weeks to focus on the NAVLE, because that is how I knew that I needed to study. But a lot of my friends, they didn't do that, and you learn a lot on rotations and stuff. That's what everyone told me, and I have learned a lot on rotations, like being in clinics and stuff. But like for that reason that you learn a lot on rotations, I specifically scheduled some of different time frames. So like I scheduled my path rotation. Sorry, the boys are putting up caps and it's distracting me because I'm very easily distracted. You know, I have my LMUN over in my room, put it on for the rest of the
day. You still have the one that you stole from me?
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. You stole that.
Somewhere. And then, excuse me, you gave it to me.
You guys got the same amount of hair?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
okay.
He's touchy about that, dog.
Yeah, I'm touchy about
we had like a knockdown drag out fight in Walmart one time over shampoo, so like he is very touchy. But anyway, so I scheduled my radiology rotation before the NAVLE. I scheduled my pathology one before the NAVLE. I scheduled my large animal one before the NAVLE. I suck at large animal stuff, so I wanted to make sure that I got all that stuff done. And then I did like a small animal one. Like, a lot of people are like, oh, I need to do my shelter rotation first because I can practice spays and neuters or whatever the rest of the time. But you can do that after the NAVLE. So I would get all of the stuff that you think is going to help you for the NAVLE before.
Yeah. I was kind of the same. I also like sprinkled in some things I thought would be easy in there to give myself that prep time. Because like I said, I was done with that prep like over 2 weeks before and then NAVLE starting. So I don't know, I kind of locked myself away for like 60 days of just like not enjoying my life. But like I said, I knew I wanted to say I threw everything at it. But no, I think you're doing the right thing. It sounds like you know what you need to do. You'll get it done. I'm confident that LMU will have a very high pass rate this year just because everyone's doing they're working so hard.
Yeah, I think everyone's just like really nervous class that like COVID hit during our first year. Like we never had like one full, and I feel like first year is so like foundational, and
I know, but then, you'll yeah. we're also on Zoom.
People are nervous about like this like the class of 2023, like all across the board, not just at LMU.
Yeah.
Hit.
Well, if every school across the board because of COVID, like that'll be represented in the scores, and hopefully, they'll change the grading. So everyone's on the same playing field.
Yeah.
I think it's really important to not just don't while you're taking it, don't make excuses. Just you want to be going after it, because obviously you're ready. You'll be prepared. I promise.
All right. Let's get into some viewer.
Follower
questions. So I'm gonna start broad and then go down more narrow. So I can actually answer this first one because I have it on a sticky.
Can you? Because you haven't taken the NAVLE yet. So
is it the Krebs cycle?
Oh my god.
Yeah, but study that. It's gonna be on the NAVLE.
Someone actually asked, what is the NAVLE? So it's our national boards. We have to take it in order to practice veterinary medicine. It stands for National American Veterinary Licensing Exam.
Yes. Dan is Googling it now.
Dan is like, you're full of it. It's what else do you think it's or the North American veterinary
North,
licensing?
It, yeah, oh, it's, that's what it's it is. North. It's yeah, it's North American. Okay, good. So you guys were like, you guys were looking at me like I was an idiot. I was like, this isn't right.
Well, I mean, I was halfway there.
That's I haven't thought about that test since January.
So one third of the pot has been right so far. So one third of the pot's been correct.
Okay. Well, that's why you have three people.
Okay.
Okay. So it's our national boards, and you don't have to pass it in order to graduate, but you do have to pass it in order to like practice veterinary medicine. Five attempt. You don't like. If you don't make it after five, whenever you like practice, someone has to be in there with you. You can never like practice medicine by yourself, which is awkward. And one of my friends has a vet on one of her rotations who was like that. So there was like him and then like licensed vet and then her all in a room for every. So like that would be terrible. But it costs like $800. Somebody wanted to know how much it cost. And then how much. How, like, what's the breakdown of it? So it's 300, 60 of which don't count, which blows my mind. And so it's six.
When blocks. She says, I'm not that interrupt. When she says they don't count, they're just, it's the.
They're like surveying.
Preliminary.
It's, they're surveying to see if those questions will be good for next year or not. Keep going.
Mm-hmm.
So technically only 300 count. It's six blocks of 60 questions and you get like a minute 30 seconds per question. So it's six blocks of 60 questions. Each block is 65 minutes. The total time is 7.5 hours with the 50.
Do you get,
wrote all of this down from the ICBA.
Do you get breaks?
Yeah, so it's a 15 minute orientation. 6.5 hours of testing time with six blocks of 65 minutes, and then you get 45 minutes of break time, only to be taken between blocks. It's 15 minutes every two blocks. So that leads to my first question. For y'all's blocks, did you take them all at once, or did you take them action? Did you take them after everything, or like what did y'all do for your blocks?
Taylor, I'll hop in on this one first. Okay. So I'm a known rusher. I had a lot of like mental preparation for this exam, talking to people, listening to podcasts, talking to professors. I spoke to a lot of professors and just got so scared. I was literally a little baby. And I was just like, I'm going to take breaks. I was like, for once in your life, like you're going to slow down and take a break. So after section one, I took a break. And I was like, then I went out there and I was like shaky and like, you have to show your ID and sign out, blah, blah, blah. Block two, I took a break. Then after three, I was like, screw it. I'm taking the next one. Then after four, I took a break. And then after four, I was like, I want to get out of here. I want to go home. And I just finished next two. So I prepped myself and I listened to myself like half. Like I went out there and like peed once, ate an apple. Like I brought a ton of snacks. I don't know if that's a future question, but you have a little lock. I had a little locker. So like I took three breaks, which was way more than, more than I thought I would. So I was pretty happy with that. I don't know about you, Taylor.
Yeah, so I'm the same way. Like, I can just sit there and finish the entire thing. But for me, yeah, I would finish. Like, by the time I got to finishing the first section, I was like, I'm still in the mindset of, like, I can keep going. So I finished, I ended up doing two sections, then taking a 10 minute break and then finished doing two sections, taking a 10 minute break. And I brought like granola bars and water and like scarfed down a granola bar and chugged a bottle of water in between. And then also went to the bathroom because like you're sitting there for so long. So that's how I did mine. Some people, you know, they take breaks after every section. I think it's just whatever works for you. For me, I was like in that mindset of like, if I get up, then I might lose this focus.
Yeah. Yep. So, I didn't want to lose my groove. I didn't want to lose the edge.
Yeah. So that's what I did two and then took a break and then did two and took a break. And that worked for me.
Did you, how'd you feel after Taylor? Not to jump around, but like, what was your like post Nadley? Like how did you feel? Like what was your clearance? I don't know.
Walking out of the testing center, I was like, thank God, breath of fresh air. It, you know, I got there and it was dark because it was in November And I left, and it was like nearing dark because I was in Colorado when I took mine. So it was like I spent an entire day in a building, and I just sat in my car, like I finally finished this test, and I totally 100% failed it. I feel like after that, was I just gaslit by this exam? Like,
Gaslit.
did I ever study? There were so many questions that I was thinking about. Like, I had no idea what that was because there's so many questions. And like Lauren said, there's 60 questions that don't count, but you don't know what 60 questions they are. It's not like an entire, it's dispersed throughout all of the questions. So it could be like you take a real question and then the next question is one of those testing questions, but they don't give you any indication that it is. So you take every block of questions very seriously. And It hurt. It was soul crushing walking out of that
Yeah.
exam.
I remember leaving and I was like, I remember being in pain. I remember like my eyes were like burning from looking at the computer screen. Like I felt like I had just like played video games for 8 hours and I'm just not built for that anymore. My eyes were burning. I remember getting my truck and just like driving. I did then it was the day before Thanksgiving. So then I'm driving to shout out Ben Hatterer. I'm driving to his house and that's where I was spending Thanksgiving because I wasn't in New York. And I called my mom. Like obviously, like my family were just like, "How was it? Like, how do you feel?" I asked her to be on the phone. But, like, I can't talk. I am incapable of like putting together sentences. I remember just driving my truck without even music playing. I was just like a shell of a human. I was like,
Like it was one of those where you're like, man, music's
it felt,
off, windows up.
yeah. I was in this like bubble, and then I might have had a couple drinks after. I could have made
Oh,
a couple.
I will gladly state the first two things I did after the exam. First one, I called my best friend. Sorry, it wasn't Lauren, but he's a physician assistant. So they also take
Is that Rick's son?
that's Rick's son, the John Slavin. But I called him because he also had to take a national board exam for his medical school, so he understood what I just went through. So I called him, was like, that was the worst experience of my life. And then I immediately went to the liquor store. And then I immediately went to Taco Bell after that. And then I drove to my hotel room and disassociated for the night.
Yeah, I Ben had some crispy beers waiting for me. I think we were just like we hung out outside, and it was the day before Thanksgiving, which is like theoretically one of the biggest drinking holidays. So we then went out, but his parents, because he had already taken this, he basically like prepped his parents and like, let's not talk about this. Like, let's not talk about the exam. Like, so it was interesting for sure. I remember like this feeling of just like the. Defeat, and I was just like, it's such a roller coaster ride. I know Lauren's like rogue right now, so she has no more questions for us. So we're just gonna keep it going. We took for those listening still, thanks for being here. It took us so long to get our grades back, and that became just like a witch hunt. It was just like, I remember Taylor would text me and be like, I think the day is Friday. So I'm texting my other friends. I'm just like, I got a source that say Friday, or like I'd be like to Taylor, I think it's Monday. I'm like, I think it's
And
Monday.
so
So then
we
it's a roller coaster
every
ride.
class, every person in the class of 2022, didn't matter if you were at LMU, LSU, literally like Ohio State, anywhere, everybody was like fervently like checking online forums and like going everywhere. We were told we would get them sometime in January, and that's all we knew.
Yeah, and people were like, and then you talk to other classes, and they're like, well, it's always a Friday, and then people are like, no, it's always a Monday. And I was like, I don't care what day it is. I'm like, I'm going through something. Because I left and I was like, and I don't know if this relates to you, Taylor, but I left and I was like, I failed naturally. I was like, failed, totally failed, definitely failed. A couple weeks went by. This is November. So a couple weeks went by, maybe like December 1st. I was like, maybe I passed. And then like a week would go by. I'm like, nope, failed, totally failed. And then a couple weeks would go by. I'm like, maybe I did pass. And then mid-January, I was like, well, they definitely just sent the passing grades out to all the people who passed and just. That's why I haven't got my back yet. 'Cause they're late. They're letting the dumb kids find out later. So, it was definitely a roller coaster ride. So yeah, basically, I was like, I didn't really know the grade, just waiting so long for the grades was some of the was the toughest was almost the toughest part. The exam was hard, but like my dad would ask me all the time, be like, "Did you hear back? Did you hear back? Did you hear back?" And my dad just doesn't get it. Like, I think people had already spoke to him, like, "Don't like stop asking him." But
yeah,
he was just like,
it was the same for me, and especially during that block when we like were going to get scores because you know the doctors you're working with are interested in what you like how you did and. They know how tough the test is, so they're like, "Oh, when you hear back," and it's just like, "I don't know, sometime this
yeah,
month."
the doctors were tough on us, or on me too. Like, how do you not know yet? Like, well, do you think you
Yeah,
passed? They'd be like, "Do you think you
you're just
passed?"
like,
And I was like, I
"No."
was like, "No." I was like, "Where? Here's not something that's like it feels like it burned into our mind. Where were you when you found out?"
I was sitting in my rotation at the Cheyenne Mountain Zoo. And there was another student there from LSU, so it was like kind of awkward because we both got it. Like it was like we talked about, you know, everybody's like wondering when it's going to happen. So she had her like group of school friends, I had my group of friends, and so we were both like, "It's coming this week, like it's got to come today," and then it would come, and then
Excuse me.
like when it finally did, we both were like, "Oh my God, we have to email," and then like we just like sat in silence and like because you don't want to talk about scores out loud, and so we're just like sitting in silence like you get your score, were you okay with it, kind of thing. So I vividly I can picture exactly sitting and like looking at the screen.
Yeah, I was driving from like Louisville to Oklahoma, maybe. I was driving to Oklahoma, but I can't remember where it was from. Maybe Tennessee to Oklahoma. Either way, I had like a 12 hour drive. And I was just like, the email hit. And I think maybe a classic group text would be like, "Did you guys check your email?" Someone said. And I was like, so I'm driving and doing it, which is already like not safe, I guess. But I was just like, I don't know, I'm in traffic already. So I was like, what's the big deal?" So I answered it, and I opened my email, and I got the good news, and I started once again crying. And then I was like, "All right, well, this drive got a lot better." Then I think I
Yeah.
gave like then I
Like,
think like I went to a gas.
when you get your score, is it like in the email or do you have to like click a link?
No, you
No.
click a link and then you type your code in. So now I'm also driving like on the highway, like probably too fast, and, like aggressively scrolling my email to try to find my ICVA access code, like my own personal ID number. And I was just like, "Oh my God." So then I found I passed. I got happy. And I had to go to a gas station. Then I gave like a homeless man like $5. I was like, I gotta pass this on. It was another one of those states of just like you lose all like function. And but luckily I was gonna be trapped in a truck. So then it gave me time to like just call people only like my close family. I never posted anything about
Yeah,
passing.
so I know we're gonna talk about this later, but like this brings a good point. So as someone who is this and then you know, like I'm in the season right now. I just remember in January, like I remember getting on Facebook and it was like all on the same day and everyone was like, I mean, obviously like Taylor called me, so I knew that he passed, but like everything on Facebook was I pass, I pass, I pass, I pass. So then it's like, okay, well, if you don't post, then people are going to think that you didn't pass. But then also, it's like, is it tacky to post? And then, like, also, how do you handle? I mean, like, obviously, you should be excited and you're like really proud and stuff. But also, like,
I was worried about my friends. I was legitimately just worried about my friends. I didn't.
yeah,
I
someone
never. I. Ne
as the friend who fail.
You're not gonna fail.
I know, I'm just saying, like, if anyone's going to in my friend group, it would be me. You know what I'm saying? So, like, it's like, how do you approach that? And
Well, I'll
so,
tell you what
like,
you
if you
don't. I'll tell
also
you what not to do. I'll tell you what not to do. What you did to me. You just texted me and you go, "So did you pass?" And I was just like, I let you go, "You're literally not supposed to ask me, but yes." I never posted, so everyone thought I failed. I don't know. I think posting, call me out, like people can have their own opinions of this. I think posting grades and anything is tacky. You can be proud and tell your family and stuff, but like I never posted a 4.0, which I didn't get. But like I never posted an A on my exam. And there's people in every class that like have to post every grade they've ever gotten, and they probably did it in college too. That was just not me. So like when I passed, I was really proud, and I told my family, and then like our group, no one in my group chat said anything, and then one of my friends, Richard, he literally goes, "So did y'all pass?" And it was uncomfortable because only like most people, a lot of people replied, but some people didn't, and it was definitely uncomfortable. But like luckily I was on the different side of it. I was on the happy, on the happier side probably.
So
But
for
the only people,
your friends
Lauren
your
posted
friends
it. Lauren
failed.
posted I passed.
Yeah, your friends who I was very proud of y'all, and I feel like it's fine if I post it, you know, like
Yeah. No,
it's
you're right. It is. I just,
you do
I'm
it, it's
not.
like but if I do it, I'm just shouting out my friends.
I would probably post for you. If I found out you passed, I would post probably. You're right.
Thank you.
I'll
I
post for
appreciate
you.
that. But okay, so you said some people, you know, like you two, I know both passed the first time, but I know both of y'all have friends who didn't pass the first time. So like, did you do anything to like, did they reach out to them? Did they reach out to you or like, I don't know,
When
like
it happened to some of my unnamed friends, they were just like, "Hey, y'all," because everyone says y'all, I guess. I didn't pass, and we're like, "What can we do?" Like, we sent some notes, we sent some study guides, but then more than anything, we just left them alone. We didn't talk about it. I think that's the best way. Just don't speak on it.
I think kind of covering a lot of it is posting scores. I feel like people just want validation that like, hey, I've passed.
And that's cool if
And
you
I
need it. If you need it, that's
get
cool.
that. I'll admit I posted my score on Facebook. It's where a lot of my family is. I hate Facebook and I wish that it would just burn and die. Unfortunately, that's a lot of family communication.
100%. No, I
And
get that,
instead of
Taylor.
like sending out a bunch of like texts and emails, it was easier just to like make one post. I covered my score. I feel like a lot of people do because the score doesn't matter as long as you pass. But also, if you don't pass, it's not the end of the world. Many, many, many amazing veterinarians don't pass the first, second, third time, because it's kind of all up to luck. I'm a firm believer of the NAVLE is both your knowledge, but also the luck of what questions you get.
Hundred
Because
percent.
not everybody gets the same questions. It's the same question bank, but because it's a standardized test and it's a national board exam, they have to mix up the questions because someone can take it on, you know, November 12th, which is today, and then someone else can take it on the 15th and be like, oh, I had all these questions,
Yeah,
or there were questions like this.
all my friends were like, one of my friends was like, "Did y'all feel y'all again?" Because that's what they say. They're all like, "Did y'all feel like you just took a guinea pig exam?" And I was like, "Oh," I was like, "Shit, I didn't have any guinea pig questions." I was like, "Does that mean I failed? Did they only give guinea pig
No.
questions to the people who passed?" I was like,
All I had was freaking like alpaca and trout questions for and pigs, because they say like, oh, you're only gonna have like
"Excuse me, I'm sorry."
20, you're good, 20 questions on pit. I guess I got a cough too.
I just like choke. I just want to be like Dan.
But they like you know they're on the ICU website. They give you a breakdown of how many questions for each species,
I actually
and so I'm
have
like.
it right here.
Okay, that's nice.
Time.
Lauren, no.
Canine is 25%, 77 questions. This is of the 300 questions that count.
I'm cutting this
Canine,
out.
25%, 77 questions. Feline. Someone literally asked this. Feline, 24%, 73. Equine, 15%, 44 questions. Bovine, 13%, 40 questions. I'm not going to tell the other ones. Those are the main four.
Anyway, there's supposedly 20 pig questions or some or like six pig questions. I don't know. There's not a lot of pig questions. I swear I had like 50. I swear an entire test block was pig questions. And I was just like, I'm failing this exam because I don't care. I mean, I care about pigs, but I'm not a pig practitioner and I'm a swine practitioner. It's not what I want to do. So that's not what I focused on. And I swear I was like, yep, I failed this test. Like they had so many questions that I had no idea and I just like was not interested in learning about. And I now that Lauren interrupted me, I forgot what tangent I was going on.
What else is new?
Everyone has a
Yeah.
different exam.
Yeah, so everybody has a different exam, and so it's like you may get the one test bank where you just get absolutely like destroyed because it's a bunch of questions you don't know, and so you could fail it that way, while somebody else has a lot of questions that cater towards their knowledge and what they know. It's just kind of the luck of the draw. So for anybody out there that hasn't taken it,
You
if
got
you
this.
fail it, Well, one, you got this, you're not going to fail. But if you fail, it is not the end of the world.
No.
Honestly, for me, I was more upset about the thought of paying an extra $800 to retake the test rather than actually just sitting down and taking it.
One of my friends who
And
retook it, I swear he's like the best veterinarian I know now because he studied extra. Like I truly, he's just so much smarter. Yep.
Okay, let's
So.
get into more questions. We're getting a little long-winded here because I need to get
Yeah,
back.
hold on. Hold on. One last thing about scores. Like we had talked about, don't ask about scores. If you pass, or at, n not just even pass, once you take the exam, don't go tell your friends about it. We all know it sucks. Don't, like, I told my friends, I said, because that were taking it before me, so I don't want to know anything about the test. One, you're not supposed to talk about it, but they can't enforce that. Don't be like, oh, I thought it wasn't so bad, or it was terrible. We all, like, the people who say it's not so bad, okay. All right, we get it. You're smart. We get it. You are good at taking tests. But just don't talk about it. We all know how it's going to be. Just, if you're going to say anything, just be like, hey, took my test. I survived. We can talk about it after you take yours. After you take an exam and you talk, like, you want to talk to a friend who's taken it, I think that's fine because you both have been through it. Scores aren't out yet. But just do your friends a favor and don't talk about the exam pretty much at all.
Yeah, I agree. But yeah, I would say,
All right,
Lauren,
let's
let's
get
do the
into it.
next question.
We're getting long-winded. As someone who
All right.
hasn't taken the NAVLE, I do need to get back to studying. So let's get into it. All right. So Vet Prep or Zuku, difference between each, and what do you prefer?
Different computer format. I picked Vet Prep because my friends in the year ahead of me took Vet Prep and they passed the NAVLE and I said, if it's good for the goose, it's good for Dan. I literally, based off that, I saw some people use Zuku. Maybe it's because I was so used to clicking on Vet Prep. I thought Vet Prep did a really good job of just like making it feel like the NAVLE. Maybe not as hard of questions, but the clicking. A lot of just taking the test is you have to click, you have to have the endurance, you don't want to get fatigued. Vet Prep prepared me to not be fatigued. I took Vet Prep. I saw people using Zuku. It's just a different format. I like my format more. So I did Vet Prep.
Talking about
I
getting
don't.
fatigued, I feel like a lot of people don't think about this, and a lot of people who have taken the NAVLE like commented saying that one of the best strategies that they can like, or like tips, I guess they can tell people apart from studying is take timed exams like back to back to back to back to back to like build up the stamina because it is like a really, really long exam. And so I try to do that like every 2 days or something where I like sit and take like a bunch of
A
time
bunch.
exams back to back so I can like get in the like mindset.
Agreed.
But yeah, so I just wanted to say that.
Taylor, what do you think? Vet Prep versus Zuku.
I like the layout of Vet Prep better. I didn't like the way Zuku looked. I figured, I mean, thankfully we'd have to spend money on it, but I mean, it came through our tuition at LMU.
Yeah.
But for anybody who has to spend, that $450 or whatever, you're going to be staring at that screen for a long time. So taking into consideration what the app or computer layout looks like is also as important as the content. For me, I didn't like the way Zuku looked. It was too white. It was just a lot of like black and white on
Yeah.
top of each other. I like Vet Prep, and I probably Zuku has a dark mode option, but I like the way Vet Prep looked. It looked very clean. It had the nice dark mode option on your computer. It had a great app with dark mode.
Aesthetically
And
pleasing. It
it was
was
very,
definitely.
yeah, it was very aesthetically pleasing. I liked the power lectures. I liked the power pages. I printed all those out. I liked Vet Prep better.
Vet Prep, if you're listening, I know we got a lot of listeners. Vet Prep, that's you out there. Dan Doren, Taylor Wilson, we take check.
Yeah,
Or cash.
sponsor us.
Right, Lauren, what do you got for us?
So the other questions are, what study methods did you use other than Vet Prep or Zuku?
I had a big study guide that I think was from an older class. I'm a handwriter. Some people type everything. I hand wrote everything. And if I on bet prep, if I got a question wrong, and hopefully maybe someone, this doesn't really help so much this class right now, but maybe in a year someone's gonna be listening to this podcast before they start studying. I hand wrote everything on printer paper. If I got a question wrong, I wrote the whole question out and the answer. And it really, like, because when it comes to the NAVLE, I'll speak for myself, super buzzwordy. Like you see certain words, beetles, blister beetles is like can't fit her in or whatever. It's like it was just like it became so buzzwordy. So I made sure I wrote out all these buzzwords so I could like so there's so that way on the test there were so many just give me's.
I know
Yeah.
that you told me that a couple like weeks ago or whatever, and that I will say that that has helped me so much is handwriting out stuff that I got wrong.
So
So,
Taylor probably did it differently. Taylor, you
yeah.
probably I assume you type stuff.
So I will. I'm like half and half. I am majority. I do like to handwrite. More of hand highlighting. Just the physical act of like, okay, I'm like physically highlighting this section. I'm like ingraining it in my memory. So I would print the power pages out, like I said, but I would also take those power pages and condense them down further, into like a big document. And I would like basically do that, and then I'd take that and then write like little small notes on
Yep.
those and highlight them. I also use that big study guide too. I didn't. Well,
I
it
loved it.
wasn't, I liked it, but you had to be careful with the information that was on it because it was made by a student as well at the time. So some of the information wasn't 100% correct. So I kind of lost me on points where I was just like, well, that's wrong. I don't know how much of this is right. That was just a personal preference for me.
Yeah. Oh.
I also really enjoyed, I took great use out of the ICVA practice exams.
Yep, I took
In
all of them.
same, and for us, hopefully it's the same for your class. The school paid for two of them, just to kind of track how you're progressing. I paid for the last one myself because it had the answers on it, and I took that 2 weeks before I took the NAVLE, and my score on the practice exam was pretty spot on for how I did on the NAVLE. So I would highly recommend anybody. Now, even now, going into the NAVLE, pay for that $60 exam, see
Worth
how
it
you do.
with the
Yeah,
answers,
and
with the answers.
with the answers, so you could, questions you got wrong, you can look back on. Overall studying, even with vet prep, when we had the timed exams, I'll be honest, if I didn't know the answer, I would either look it up or, I mean, I guess I would just look it up. But towards the end, I didn't want to guess on questions. So if I didn't know it, I would just find the answer so I didn't have the wrong answer in my brain.
I know. I just
But
didn't want to. I didn't want to taint myself. I didn't want to give
I
myself a conf.
know.
I didn't want to give myself a confidence like, wow, you did really good in this exam. Well, I also didn't want to get too bad. So
Yeah, no, and it was the same for me. That
I
last
was
ICVA exam, though, I took that completely like
clean.
just from my brain. I was just like, this is the real one. I want to know how I'm progressing. So that one, I didn't look up any answers.
One
And
other, go ahead. One other thing I did, and
yeah.
I'm not saying this is right or wrong. Because it made me really panicky. Like in that, like those couple months after, I was like, "God, I should have worked harder." I only did 15% of the power pages or power lectures. I learned so much by just getting questions wrong because I would get it wrong, and I would look up why it was wrong. Honestly, I didn't do. Some people love power pages and power lectures. I'm not saying they're bad. I just couldn't keep my attention. I just did really well, just rapid clicking and reading why something was wrong and then handwriting that out. So for anyone out there who thinks they can't pass, if they don't love reading like power lectures or listening to the power lectures or reading the power pages, it's possible. You'll be fine.
And it's also really important to pay attention to what you're doing in clinicals as well. I would say the vast majority of the knowledge I had going into the NAVLE came purely from what I've learned in clinicals, interpreting blood work, looking at diagnostics. I'm so thankful I had an internal medicine rotation before the NAVLE, like a couple months before, because I got to see a lot of those cases that aren't like your typical like GP cases or emergency cases. It was like those high diagnostic cases where you have to interpret like what is actually going on. And that doctor gave me a lot of homework to do that rotation. I hated it, but looking back on it, I'm so glad that she did because it really like I had to do homework on like diabetes and Addison's and like all these crazy things. But I know them. I or at least I did for the NAFLD.
Yeah, that's good.
So.
All right, Lauren, hit us with another.
If you had to pick three topics to focus on, what are your top three topics that you would like really hammer when studying?
Dogs and cats.
Dog, cats, and horses.
Yeah, I would say the things with the biggest percentage, honestly, cats. I did really well on the cow portion, so I like still passed. But like even my cat, when they give you your score breakdown, I was kind of low on cats for some reason. I don't know. Dogs and cats. Hit that. If you're like my test is in a week and I haven't studied, dogs and cats, good luck.
Yeah, my lowest on the NAVLE was horses, which, I mean, it makes sense. I'm not interested in doing horse medicine. Dogs and cats for sure. If you're
Also,
getting,
oh, go ahead.
I was gonna say, if you're getting into studying for the NAVLE, I don't want to say focus on what you're not good at first. I would be real rounded with what you study, but closer towards the NAVLE, I would focus on those species that you're like, I'm not a large animal person. I'm never gonna touch a cow again. Or a horse again, medicine wise.
You
At
think you'll pet
least,
them? Maybe.
maybe. I say this, and then like, 20 years down the road, I'll be like a cow vet or something, and you'll be like, "Oh, what did you say then?" But I would say closer towards the NAVLE, focus on stuff you're not confident on, like the species, like the big species. If you're a small animal person, focus on large animal. If you're a large animal person, focus on small animal. Focus on small animal.
Another thing that I actually would just learn this applies for you especially right now. Know your dumb One Health equations. I'm not saying One
Oh my
Health is dumb, but
gosh.
know those like that little four, like I can't remember what they are. True negative,
Oh
false
gosh.
negative, or just know all those. Spend an hour, pound it into your mind. When you get into your NAVLE exam, write it on your scrap paper, and you'll be so happy. It's only going to take 30 minutes for you to really pound those formulas into your head, but it's worth it. They come up on the test all the time.
Yep. And you don't want to be trying to figure it out when you're on the question like I did. Because I was like, I didn't pay attention to it.
I studied it. I was all over it. Go ahead, Lauren. I know Lauren told us to speed up. That's why we're kind of rapid firing these now.
Are there any strategies that people told you about that you think really helped? Before y'all answer, I'll say the two things that people have told me. And the first one is that Dan said to write down all the questions I got wrong. And I think that's really helped with studying so far. And then raw student who was on a rotation with me told me that the majority of her friends who failed tried to know everything about every single species, and the friends of hers who passed just knew everything about the top four. So I feel like that has really helped me and like guided me with my studying because I mean taking vet prep and stuff, I'm like, I'm just answering questions. I don't know if I'm actually studying. And then when Dan was like, you should hand write down what you got wrong, and that has helped me so much. And then also like it's easy to get like bogged down like with these chicken questions or whatever stuff that you're like, oh my God, like if I've seen this question a million times, I should just know it. But if they're only going to be like five questions on the exam, like don't waste your time with that. So like just study the top four.
Know
So
your,
that's
but know
cool.
your, but know your buzzword ones. Like know the easy
Yep.
ones, like fish, like ick or whatever. Like
Yeah.
know the at least know. Don't be like fish and chickens don't exist. Know the buzzword ones. Know the easy ones. That's my
Yeah.
only
I'll
caveat.
also realize I know this isn't directly related to the question, but there's also very obvious answer questions on the NAVLE. It's not all these hard, difficult medical questions. You're still being tested on client communication and things like that, which is, just as important. You have to know how to deliver news to clients. So they ask you those questions too. And if it seems really obvious, it's because it is.
Don't
There
second
were,
guess.
yeah, there were
Don't.
so many questions that seemed so stupidly obvious that I was like, oh, this definitely isn't the right answer. But it is. Trust me, you're gonna get to those questions. You're gonna be like, is this a real question? It is. It's a gimme question. Take it And then use that time. Like, make sure you read the question properly and thoroughly because sometimes they switch the words around. But those gimme questions are obvious for a reason.
Taylor, what was it? I remember one of the doctors on one of your rotations told you this, and it like really like resonated with you, and it's resonated with me, but I can't remember like exactly what he or
Really
she said,
resonated. It
but it
really
was
resonated
what?
really resonated. It sounds like I don't even
Yeah,
remember it.
it really did. Like it was like really, it was a lot of resonation. But anyways, about
You just made
the
that word up.
yeah, I did. The it's like how many it's like 80% of the class like passes or whatever, and it's like if you think that
Oh.
20% or whatever, you know, whatever it is, it's like oh,
Yeah.
this position and whatever.
Yeah, I don't remember the specifics, but it was like, I think it was actually before I even started fourth year. It was if I was debating on if I was going to take the NAVLE prep course, which doesn't exist anymore, and it didn't exist for us. So it kind of solved my own answer for that. But it was like, well, how do you sit in your class? And, I'll be honest, I'm a middle of the pack kind of guy. I'm not the lowest. I'm definitely not the highest. I sat very, very middle pack, very happy with that. And
That's so
it was
funny.
like,
For a second, I thought you were talking about like where you sat in the class. I was like, yeah, you sat in the middle. I kind of sat behind you,
yeah, I did sit
but
in the middle of class. But no, like class ranking wise, which class ranking doesn't matter at all unless you are absolutely trying to get into like crazy specialty internships, and you better be number one or two. But that aside, your class rank doesn't matter. But they were saying like, just in general, because of you sit in your class rank based on your general knowledge and how you do in school. They're like, the first like third, the first top, the third, oh my gosh, my words. The first 30% or so, are going to do well in the NAVLE, more or less. The middle of the road pack, definitely have to study and focus. Everybody has to study and focus, but as it's like the bottom of the pack are the people that really, really, really need to work and focus on studying. And not because that it's because people think you're dumb or I think you're dumb. I don't think you're dumb. Everybody who graduates as a doctor, you're automatically brilliant. But
automatic.
it's just automatic. You're an amazingly brilliant person if you earn a doctorate degree, and if you don't, you're also an amazing brilliant person. But all that to say, yeah, they just mentioned like, oh, how you sit at in your class ranking can kind of help determine if you need to study a lot or a little. But overall, for the NAVLE, you got to study your ass off. You got to work hard. This is not a test you can just blow off.
Okay. So what did anyone say anything to you that you think really helped you with the NAVLE, either of you?
I think I kind of I think I keep just saying it throughout this whole thing, like different things people have told me, but nothing that like just I guess Dr. Spangler called me a bunch because she knew I was a mental head case. So I she would just be like, stay calm. Like just like and that's a big thing. I the day of the NAVLE, I was just like, oh, I'm gonna be sick. And some people just have like way more, like don't get anxious, but I was like, oh, it's happening. I'm sweating. Like, and it was definitely really scary. So if I could like do anything, like I could, you can tell someone to stay calm, but like that person just has to stay calm. You can't, that was the advice I got that like, I guess I'll, it didn't help, but I would have liked to stay calm.
Yeah, it's all endurance. You gotta make it through.
Yeah, Dr. Carney told me that too. She's like, just make sure you have like the endurance of just like clicking, like being able to like click, move on, click, move on, click, move on, click, move on. That's what it is. It's just a big game.
Yep. And realize that there's going to be other people in that room taking tests. I think my whole room was like full of doctors, like medical doctors who were doing their like residency exam. So I was like, oh, okay.
Mine were taking the
That's
mechanics. Mine
cool.
were taking mechanic exams. A
Oh,
couple people were
that's
taking the NAVLE from our class in there, but
cool.
a lot of mechanics.
Oh. Just out in that building.
Yeah. While we're now that I've got everyone here, in case you don't make it to the end of this podcast, I currently have a mustache. They're gonna post it.
Wait, I'm not done.
We. I know you're not done. It's a quick little caveat. It's not all about you, Lauren.
Okay.
I grow a mustache for Movember. I raise money for testicular cancer and men's health. A lot of things that guys don't talk about enough. Things that we keep to ourselves, whether it be men's mental health when it comes to suicide or just testicular cancer, prostate cancer, things like that. And Movember is a great foundation. And it means a lot to me. I'm going to make the podcast, post my link. If you enjoyed today's podcast, please think about making a small donation, anything you can afford, or at least just sharing a little bit, little tidbit of men's health or something, just try to help someone along the way. I hope you take some of that good mental health into the Natalie with you, but I'm going to be growing a mustache all month. I post a lot about different men's health, different advice, different factoids. Feel free to follow me. Feel free to reach out for any questions. And also just check out the website, check out my link, maybe learn something, maybe make a donation. I'd really appreciate it.
Donate to Dan, even if it's $1, $1 can make a difference.
It all goes to research for testicular cancer, men's mental health, and prostate cancer. So I have a buddy from college who's already had testicular cancer twice, and metastasized to his back, and he had to do inpatient chemotherapy, and this is all before he was like 24. So wow. Something that means a lot to me. I hope it means a lot to other people. So if you get a chance, just check out the website even, and then think about making a donation.
Yeah. Thanks,
girl, mustache. I got you. I just wanted to get that in before people.
What? I look terrible without my beard, so that's why I didn't shave.
Yeah, my friend reached out to me. My friend Casey, I'm his kid's goddaughter, and he like texted me day one when I shave because I grow a new mustache. He goes, "Just so you know, you're really ugly without your beard." And I go, then he goes, "But I am too." And I was like, "Okay, yeah, cool."
Yeah.
So go ahead, Lauren. I had to get that. I just wanted to plug myself real quick.
I appreciate that. I'm glad that you did. Movember is very important to me as well. What did you do the week before and what did you do the night before? And then I only have one other question after this.
Okay, I was going to say, I think we only have time for two questions, so that works.
The week before, I just kept studying hard, didn't give up. But the day before the Navly, I didn't do anything. And I'm really glad I didn't.
Yep. I'm the same. I was studying my ass off, you know, this last weeks. I think 2 days before the Navly, I stopped studying just to give my mind a rest. The night before, there was a part of me that was like, you need to read through everything. Just read through the study guide. And I started, and then I kept hitting things where I was just like, I don't remember this. I didn't study for this. And I said, nope, stop.
Can't do it. Enjoy don't reading. Read the study guide.
Yep.
Just talking about this, like I have a pit in my stomach, but okay, last question. What did you do that you think made you pass the Navly?
Study.
I sacrificed a lot of like fun. I see a lot of people having fun, which is so awesome, and I'm so glad it worked. I moved at like the block before my like study time. So like basically 45 days leading up to the Navly, I didn't live at home. I lived by myself. I kind of isolated myself and studied. And I'm confident that if I had been living at home or I stayed home or I was just hanging out, maybe I don't pass. Maybe I would have had better mental health and been healthier and eaten better. But I had a goal, and it was to pass Navly, and I sacrificed a lot along the way because we've been sacrificing for three and a half years at that point. What's another 30 days?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, I think just being committed to studying. I wish I was a structured person, but I'm not. I've tried to make structure and like routine and everything. I could work on that more. But for the Navly, I really, really focused on routine. And even on the days where I was just absolutely exhausted, and I had homework for rotations, and I had to write SOAPs and everything, I still took the time to at least do a couple questions or read through a power lecture or power page or whatever. And it was just all about consistency, making sure I stayed on top of studying. And the month before the Navly, just absolutely going wild with studying and hating every minute of it, thinking that, like, I'm spending all this time, and if I fail it, then it's, like, all worthless. But you know, I passed, and even if I didn't, it wasn't worthless. I still pop out some weird like Navli like question trivia at work where I'm just like, oh, it's this thing because of Navli. That's why I know this. Which is
It's
like the
kind of
stupidest
gross.
thing. Yeah, it's or just like those random things where it's like, oh, it's kind of like a horse when they have this, and it's you do this, and I'm like, right over to small animal medicine.
Yeah, I wish I could translate this my job. Literally, there's some girls studying for the vet tech exam that I work with. So I'll like go through vet tech prep with them. And they're like, how do you know that? And I was like, I burned it into my mind when I was studying for the Navli. I don't actually know it.
Yep.
All right, well, I think we should end this podcast with you guys saying nice things to me about
Yeah.
how
Go
great
dogs.
I do. Yeah.
Go dogs.
I need you guys to
No.
lift me up because I feel, I don't know, I feel terrible going into it.
No,
You're going to.
it's natural to feel terrible. That's an important part. I feel
You're
I
going
think
to feel
feeling too
terrible until you get your score back.
yeah, I think feeling too good going into it is like a lack is like confidence that sometimes it's scary. No, I think everyone's gonna do great that's listening to this podcast. If you're not listening to this podcast, maybe you don't do as well. But people that are avid listeners are gonna do fine. Lauren, you're gonna do great. And even if you guys don't, you'll still pass it before you graduate, and that's all that matters. And the next, and if you are studying for the second time, you probably aren't studying as hard. It's not as like it doesn't hurt as bad to like study that time. So I don't know. I think confidence is key, but don't be like, oh, this is easy, and just you'll be good.
And when after you take it, enjoy some time off.
Yeah,
Enjoy
don't.
Thanksgiving. Don't think about school. Don't think about the Navli. Don't think about tests. Don't think about scores. Because after you walk out of that building, after you close the exam, you can't do anything else. You've given it your best shot. You can't change what you've your answer choices. So don't dwell on it. You're going to. You're gonna feel like sh you're gonna feel like crap. Caught myself there. You're gonna feel terrible. And that's normal. It's completely normal to feel that way. You're gonna feel like you failed. It's normal. So just realize when you're feeling how you're gonna feel. Everybody else who took that exam has felt the same way. And even after you get your scores, you're gonna be like, no, they sent me the wrong scores because
Yeah,
I felt the
wrong
same.
guy.
Yeah, wrong person. This was not meant for me.
But that's the same feeling I had when I got into vet school. I was like, oh, couldn't be me, wrong guy. So
Yeah,
I don't
imposter
know.
syndrome is real and it does not go away even after finishing med school. I'll tell you that much.
Yep. But in the summer, the Eiffel Tower can be 15 centimeters taller due to thermal expansion because the iron heats up. So if you ever want to see the Eiffel Tower, see it in the summer because it's going to be taller.
Wow. Do you guys hear that we're planning a mission back to the moon? America is.
Right.
Yeah.
You going? They probably need a vet.
Yeah, I'll think about it. I'll have to look at my schedule.
More importantly, if anyone has needs any help or wants to talk or wants to reach out, slide to my DMs. I'll speak for the whole podcast and just hit us up. You got
At
this.
the real Dan Doran on Instagram.
Yeah, go dogs, right, Lauren? Go dogs.
Go dogs.
And your weird looking quarterback.
Right, Lauren, how are you gonna do?
What?
How
How are
are
you
you
gonna
gonna
do
do
it?
in the how are you gonna do in the exam?
I don't know. I'm like literally about to start crying.
All right, well, before you start crying, Lauren, sign us out from the podcast. Say goodbye to the fans.
You're smart. You're beautiful.
Thanks for listening. Enjoy your evening. Good luck in the Navli, and more importantly, enjoy life after the Navli.
Yeah.
It's been
You
fun.
are not a veterinarian. You are a person who is a veterinarian.
Nice. Last chance, Lauren.
Go dogs.
Go dogs. All right. See ya.
Right.